Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Mammoths. I am GP. It must be the Alt Review Podcast. GP here from Columbus, Ohio, and of course, Michael from Corpus Christi. What's going on, brother?
I've got the allergy.
Yeah. If I don't know what that means, but if it means you're sick, yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
You.
Both of us. It's rough. I'm glad our interview guest tonight does not have to be in a studio with one of us. Like, she can be on the phone and not contract this insanity that we got going on here.
You got ear infections.
Right.
Cold, summer colds.
Right. I couldn't even open my mouth. It's like ridiculous.
I felt like there was a gremlin going to crawl out of my eyeball.
Oh, dang. Out of the eyeball.
Yeah, it was rough times.
All right, brother. Well, let's quit grossing them out with what we got going on. And why don't you let us know who we've got on the line here?
I'm super excited. We have singer-songwriter Laura Paragano from San Francisco. How are you doing tonight, Laura?
Hey, I'm doing well. Staying healthier than both of you, apparently.
She can hear us when that's muted.
Yeah. Glad to hear it. Definitely glad to hear that you're doing better than we are. So I have the first question for you. And so you're obviously based out of San Francisco. And so I guess we were wondering, can you speak to a little bit about the scene there and how you're able to stand out among such an active music crowd?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of independent acts out here, which is amazing and inspiring. But that also means that there's a lot of competition when trying to get a show. There used to be a lot more venues that would be willing to host artists that were lesser known. But, of course, part of the ability to have shows requires drawing in revenue. And when you're new, there's that catch-22 of you can't draw people until people hear your music, but until people hear your music, you can't draw people. So sometimes it can be hard to meet that like 25-person minimum or certain drink minimum. Luckily that there are like 3 or 4 venues that have been very kind to me, including Hotel Utah, Milk Bar, that really care about trying to lift up the indie scene. And because they have live music every day, it makes it much easier for them, I think, to be able to keep their head above the water.
Your favorite aspect of performing live?
Oh, man. I would not have expected it when I first started, but just getting to banter is really fun. It felt bad because there's, to some degree, this like captive audience aspect of they're waiting for me to stop talking. But when I was a kid, I grew up on like George Carlin and a lot of stand-up comedians. So in a sick way, it gives me a fun little chance to play around with jokes and show a different side of myself, which I think is more fun than maybe my slightly more serious emotional music lets on.
That's awesome. That's one thing I kind of enjoy is that back and forth. I mean, obviously, it's a very large group that you're going back and forth with, but I kind of enjoy that part of a live show.
Oh, yeah, you get to see the chemistry of the band, which when it's a band that drives really well and you can tell that they're friends outside of playing music together, it's energizing, in my opinion.
Fantastic. Now that we've heard a little bit about your live performance, can you tell us a little bit about your writing process and what that looks like?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the theme of the song. The first album that I had, Strange Curses, came off of the back of a lot of life changes, including, no surprise, a bad breakup. So for me, that body of music started much more of like, write everything down, get all of the feelings out in words, and then kind of retroactively put music to them in a way that made sense and matched the emotionality of the lyrics. Now I'm at the point where it's like, I'm trying to explore deeper, more difficult concepts and themes, and I'm finding word's very hard to come by. So usually I'll have a lick now or a chord progression and kind of just sit on it and keep playing it or try different ways to play it until maybe I hear a rhythm for a melody that can stand out or that matches kind of this list of themes that I've been trying to write on until I find the way that it matches up correctly or that feels just right. I suppose there's no right or wrong with these things, but you can kind of tell when you've got something to dig your teeth into a little bit.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, it kind of varies artist to artist. And I think that for some people, kind of to your point, it depends on the mood of the song. And I think that sometimes too, it depends on the difficulty of the process. Sometimes people may have more, have a tried and true process, but then maybe not having so much luck with that in an aspect of a song and maybe switching it up helps out.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no right or wrong answers with what order you put the process in. Ultimately, it's, you know, words and music. And if you can get those two elements by the end, that's all that matters.
Hey, Laura, this next question is going to sound a little bit like I'm trying to put you on the spot. I promise you I'm not.
hit me.
What I'm trying to do here is take away your inspiration in music from the answer to this question. So with that being said, you are creating a dream lineup that you're playing on. You 5, 6, 7 other acts that you're going to play on a bill with. Who's with you?
Phoebe Bridgers. Snail Mail, Real Estate, No Vacation, and then maybe Julian Baker. I've got a lot of female heavy lineup that I'm really digging in this little group that I just rattled off.
That might be one of my favorite answers to that question ever. I'm a Phoebe Bridgers, Snail Mail, and Julian Baker fanatic. Like, I get crap from them all the time because I'm like, well, you know, actually, let me talk about them again.
Now, if you could have heard, saw him, like, I can see him on, like, the top little right corner of my screen. I can see Michael, and when you started in on those, I thought I was going to have to mute his channel altogether because he was getting a little amped.
Oh, well, I'm glad we're on the same page about things that we care about in music. I mean, all of them, a killer tone on their guitar playing, incredibly beautiful, deep, meaningful lyrics, and just very unique vocal, I think, across the board. Just goes to show that no timbre of voice is wrong so long as it fits with right. The mood.
Right. And when Bridgers and Baker did Boy Genius last year with Lucy Dacus,
she was probably going to be on my list too.
Every show on the podcast, I was like, and in Boy Genius news this week, they had to stop me. It was bad. So yeah, I totally feel you there. They're fantastic. So I'm really excited to ask about this. So tell us a little bit about the pre-save campaign for your new single, Stained Glass Eyes.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of just doing this on my own. And I hear, according to the internet knowledge base, that the more pre-saves you get for a song, the more likely it is to be put into playlist consideration. And doing it myself, the more that I can get people to click, the better off my odds will be without having to pay for like PR or anything. That being said, I think it's my best song yet. Obviously I'm biased. We self-produced it in my drummer's studio and had my bassist mix all the tracks together. It adds a lot more musical elements like overlapping guitars, extra backing vocal tracks, some cool like panning techniques that I think give more depth to the song. And then, like I was mentioning before, the lyrics themselves are also trying to get a little bit more sophisticated, playing off of this metaphor of eyes and light and dark, and vision as a way to talk about love. So if anybody wants to pre-save it and then check it out when it comes out May 31st, I've got a button on my website, www.lauraparagano.com. It goes to this like show.co website, which is provided for free through CD Baby, which sounds like I'm plugging CD Baby, but as a person who had to figure this all out on their own, they made it seem really simple. So if anybody else has music out there and just like wants to put it into the world, CD Baby has been great for publishing. And that was a long-winded way of explaining my show.co pre-save campaign.
No, no, you're good. That's exactly what I wanted you to do, was lay it out there for them and make it simple for them, you know, what they need to do to get to this. So if you're listening to my voice right now, you need to be going to do this. You can just press pause on the podcast, go pre-save the song, and then come back. That's what we want you to do.
Yeah. And also, we're really excited because Laura has sent us the song. So if you listen to the end of the podcast, you'll be able to hear Stained Glass Eyes. We'll be playing that as our out music tonight. So, and Greg will talk to you a little bit about that and get you an opportunity to expand more on that here in a second, but I just wanted to plug that. So, make sure you do that pre-save campaign, go pre-save that so that you get first access to that right on the jump. You don't need to wait for Spotify to remind you. You just already have downloaded into your app.
I will also say about the pre-save campaign, when you pre-save it, you also get access to special content, which in this case, I wanted to include all of the phone recording demos that I had taken to work myself through my process of writing the song. So you can hear like me trying to fiddle around with the rhythm and then eventually taking it to the band, and we're all kind of figuring it out together. For any other newish artists out there, I'm sure you will be able to sympathize, and I've always liked inside looks at content, so hope you enjoy.
That's awesome. You'll get like a insider look at process there.
Okay, one more quick question, and then we'll go back. I want to ask you about how that song came together, but first, any upcoming projects, shows, anything that we have not talked about yet that you'd like to plug for people listening?
I've got a show at Milk Bar this Wednesday, May 8th. An amazing indie lineup. Talk about places that support local artists. Then the next show after that is going to be Ferment Drink Repeat, south in San Francisco on June 14th, which is a Friday, which is the first Friday shows I've ever had. Usually it's middle of the week shows. And then July 30th at El Rio. I'm not currently doing tours outside of the day. That would be a dream, but, you can always take a look on my website, and if I do get new shows, I would post them there.
Cool. All right, well, tell me a little bit about how Stained Glass Eyes came together. As Michael said, we're going to play that as our out music, let everybody hear that and remind them to go pre-save that, but tell me a little bit about how that song was made and how it came together.
Yeah, so that was a perfect case of, I had absolutely no words at first. I just had this, like, E minor, G, D, C add 9 progression and rhythm that sounded interesting. So that was something I would like put in my looper and noodle over it until I found a melody. And the more that I thought about it, you know, I tried one theme and it didn't work. I tried another. and I was going through a little down period, and was at my friend's house and was looking out a window and just had this idea, which later I Googled, and apparently there are like 20 songs with the same name, or that have this same concept of stained glass eyes, but I quite liked it because it allowed for a lot of room with playing around with metaphor and the imagery. So you can, with stained glass, you get to talk about color, and with eyes, you can talk about, you know, the way into the soul, or even more specific, one of the lines in my song is rods blink on and off, which is hella nerdy if you know what rods are in the eyes, but they're the things that regulate nighttime vision and primarily focus on grayscale, black and white kind of colors. And from there, I just noodled around with the words until I was able to get it to fit one of these themes that I have been of for a little while now, of how, and it's the main refrain of the song, but how it's not just enough to love somebody. There needs to be like an action behind that love, and a giving, and the love is not necessarily, I don't know how to put this, like, of the other person themselves, if it's done right. I think it comes through you, and it's color given onto them, and they are just who they are, and it's the way that you see them that makes the love meaningful and special.
Awesome. I dig it. And Laura, just one time, because I know we didn't get it earlier, what is your website?
Yes, www.lauraparagano.com. P-A-R-A-G-A-N-O. True Italian American style.
I love it. And well, that's all the questions we have for tonight. Thank you for coming on and sharing about your music. We're really looking forward. And make sure, for all you listening there, stay till the end. We will be playing the song in its entirety. We're super excited to share that. And super excited that Laura, has given us the opportunity to do so. And this will be dropping on May 8th, Laura. So this will be on the same day as your show. So yeah.
Yeah. So I think he was talking about this podcast is dropping.
Yeah. The podcast will be dropping May 8th. So it'll be dropping the same day as your show. So
awesome.
All right. Thank you so much, Laura. Have a great evening.
Thank you. I'm going to keep listening and enjoying all of your Boy Genius updates.
I dig it.
Yeah, he has all the latitude in the world now, because he's the only one that does the review, so he can do whatever he wants.
Too funny.
All right.
Lucky man. All the power.
All the
appreciate all right. it.
Have a great night.
You too. Right.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Laura Paragano on the alt review hotline.
Yeah, sorry, my microphone, I hit it. I'd hit some, I don't know what I did, but my microphone was just like, bye.
I got you, boo.
It's good. Yeah. I'm glad someone's got me, because I shut myself down, and I'm like, what the hell did I just do right now?
No, we're working it out.
Right. I'm only about half of my brain working right now. Great interview. Don't forget www.lauraparagano.com. Pre-save the single Stained Glass Eyes.
Yep. And you can pause us and do that right now. You can wait till after the podcast, but don't do anything before that. Don't go to the bathroom.
Right.
Don't eat a hamburger.
Nothing. Don't. Just listen to the song at the end and then go save it. Like, you're already right there on the computer or on your phone. So just go save it right then. That's
right. It's the easiest way.
All right, my man, what do you got for me in reviews?
So we got Beck put out a new single called Saw Lightning.
The whole album? All at one time? No,
It's a single. Yeah, single. And so I accidentally put it on there in the outline as an album.
Okay, that's fair. You hosed me. I get it.
So, anyway, I Emma's made a live joke about lightning crashing, but it was, this song was, it was all right. I mean, it wasn't great. There was some bluesy acoustic guitar that I loved in it, though, that was absolutely fantastic. But for me, the song got a little repetitive towards the end. And by the time it was over, I was kind of, I don't want to say glad.
You were over it.
But I was over it. It was just like, it kept repeating, like the hook too much. And I was just like, all right, like I'm done.
I get it. I have the hook memorized now. Thank you.
Right. And then I expunged it from my brain because I can't remember it now.
That's the cold medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
careful how much you take. It might erase college.
I gave it a 3 out of 5.
All right, moving on to, I gotta pick my list up for this one, because this is a lot of Houndmouth, Cali Voodoo, California Voodoo Part 2, and then there were two songs, is that what it was, off of this one album, or?
Yeah, it was, that's what they called, so it's weird, that's what they called the release of two singles, was Talk of the Town and Shane's Song, and so I'll separate them out a little bit. Talk of the Town was a good track, standard, Houndmouth song, but I want to spend more time on Shane's Song, because Shane's Song had something I've never heard from a Houndmouth song before, and I was kind of like, whoa, like it had absolutely fantastic guitar solo in it that I was just like, damn, get it, like towards the end of it I was like, they were just ripping it up and just taking it to, like, you know how on Steve Winwood where he's like, bring me the high of love, and he keeps taking up another level from the 80s. And you're like, he can't possibly go up another level, but then he does.
Right.
Like that, yeah, that's what the song was doing. And I was like, dude, you can't keep going up another level. It's too much. You're going to crash. But it was fantastic. So overall, I gave both songs a 4 out of 5. And if you are too young to know who Steve Winwood is, after you're done pre-saving Laura Paragano, go on Spotify and get you some Steve Winwood, because it's good 80s pop music.
Did you really just tell him to go listen to Steve Winwood?
I don't know how they wouldn't know who he is.
You never know. Like, I have that crap happen all the time. Like, guys that work for me at my office are like, I'll say something and they're like, what's that? And I'm like, gee, Minnie Christmas, I'm old.
No, I know. No one knows who Steve Winwood is anymore.
All right, what do you got next for me, man?
So we got Middle Kids, Beliefs and Prayers. And so I've had the opportunity to see Middle Kids, and so I put this one on here. They opened for Ryan Adams when I saw them. So I already have predisposition to liking them. So that's going to, you know, come in as part of the thing here. And so, dug the song, absolutely fantastic. Sometimes their music kind of reminds me of like Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine was in an indie band. If that makes sense. And just her vocals with an indie style, like indie rock. And yeah, cause sometimes, their lead singer goes that raw a little bit, not as much vibrato, but like definitely has similar vocal chops. So 4 out of 5, absolutely dug that song, was fantastic.
Culture Wars, Let Me Down.
Dude, friends of the podcast, Culture Wars are bringing it hot off their tour with Robert DeLong. They are absolutely fantastic with this song, Let Me Down.
So they did not let you down.
No, they did not. This song was the only 5 out of 5 that I had. Oh, actually, I take that back. Was originally, until I changed the outline up, was the only 5 out of 5 that I gave this week. But yeah, it is so good. This band has something that just no other band out there has. It's all, it's electronic, it's pop, it's fused together into this package. It's got a little hint of rock to it. It's got an edge. You know, it'll scare your parents a little bit. It's got a bit of everything. And vocals were fantastic. The music was fantastic as always. And it doesn't just feel like a piece of music. It always like a show. Like every song feels bigger than just a single. Like this is just our next single. Like with Culture Wars, they kind of do it up more than that. They kind of remind me of Queen in that way. Like not copping them to Queen, but just saying like how Queen, like every song of theirs was a production. That's kind of what this is.
All right, what do you got next for me?
Two Door Cinema Club Satellite. So I had the weirdest juxtaposition with this song. I don't know how I could hate a verse anymore and love a chorus anymore. Like the verse sounded like badly done Talking Heads karaoke, and it was bad. I was just like, this is awful. And then when the hook hit, I was like, this is fantastic. Because these don't even sound like they should be on the same song. So I want to be like, dear Two Door Cinema Club, I'm petitioning you to remove this chorus from Satellite and put it onto another song, because whatever the hell you call that verse was trifling.
Wow.
I gave that a 2.5 out of 5, and that is solely on the back of that hook, because that verse got zilch from me.
All right, I'm going to serve this one up for you, okay? Nice little grapefruit underhand right over the middle of the plate. You're going to hit it out of the yard, right?
Right.
All right, next up we got a Rolling Stones Greatest Hits album called
Honk. And so it's their newest Greatest Hits collection. And so what's so cool about this one is it's got some new live stuff that you haven't heard before, one of which is a recording of Wild Horses, one of my favorite Stones jams, that was recorded with Florence Welch of Florence and the Machines, is actually recorded where Caris Rayburn, our very own Caris Rayburn, was in the audience at that show. So technically, her voice is on that recording because she's in the crowd. So
nice.
Yeah, so a little bit of alt review is on Honk. So, of course, it's a Rolling Stones Greatest Hits album. Everything's fantastic on it. It's 5 out of 5. But I just wanted to point that out there that, you know, if you're thinking, oh, this is just another Greatest Hits album and it has all the songs I already know on it, there's some cool new, you know, live music releases that are on there that haven't been released in the past. So definitely check it out.
All right. Feature of the week this week, we're going to play a little game. This is another debut segment here in our feature of the week. We're going to play a game called Lesser of Two Evils. I'm going to give you two evils. You got to tell me which one you would prefer. Both are going to suck, but you got to eat one of them. All right?
Me too, though.
I will. Calm down.
All right.
Number one, mosh pit or stage diver?
Oh, damn. This is the hardest one, like, right out the gate. Because I hate mosh pits. They make no sense to me. I will never understand mosh pitting. And those of you out there who try to explain, I don't get it. Y'all are beating the hell out of each other for no reason. I've never connected with music in a way that was like, I need to beat the hell out of somebody.
Right. Like, I just need to run and crash into some fool that I don't even know.
Right. I don't know that. And I've never felt that. I've connected with music on a very primal level and have been like, yes, this is fantastic, but I've never been like, let me run into that dude. So I hate mosh pitting. Never will agree with it, and it is the bane of my existence when it happens at a show. Stage divers, also too, I don't want to carry your ass at a show, so that's the other part of it. So I'm having trouble with that. Here's my thing. I'm going to go with stage divers being the lesser of two evils because, like, I'm not likely going to be up around where the stage diver is going to be anyway because I'm pretty chill. And so I'm not trying to be up where the mosh pitters are. So I'm going to just be hanging out. Most of the shows I go to don't have mosh pits anyway. But, yeah, I don't need anybody stage diving into me and breaking my neck.
Right. Look, I went to Rock on the Range, and you can imagine that there was some pretty serious mosh pit action going on there at Rock on the Range. You know, they also had a lot of crowd surfing where, you know, kind of throw that one in here as well.
Right.
People, literally, this was happening at Rock on the Range. People were crowd surfing all the way to the front. Security would grab them off the top of the crowd, let them loose. They'd run all the way around to the back and do it over and over and over again all night long.
I would be exhausted.
Right. No kidding. Yeah, it... Look, I'm with you on mosh pits. Like, if I'm going to a show like Rock on the Range, I'm buying the GA tickets. I don't want to be down on that field. I don't want to be there. I would rather be up in the top where I have a place for my butt to sit. And when the wind blows, I can feel it up there because it's, you know, late May. It's hot. I'm not interested at all in mosh pits and stage diving. Like, don't jump on me. I don't want your nuts on my head. Like, just don't do it. Just stay up there. I mean, and you don't see a lot of that because, you know, now there's typically space, unless it's some sort of televised event. A lot of times there's space between front of crowd and stage. So,
right,
I would probably have to pick stage diving as the lesser of two evils, just because you will never in a million years see me in a mosh pit.
No, and the last time I was actually in a mosh pit was at a Social Distortion concert. And it had everything about mosh pits that I hate. It had the two drunken guys that take it too far, and they get into a physical altercation, have to be separated, take it out by security. And then they had a woman who just out of nowhere jumped on this dude's back and starts scratching his face. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I was like, meth is a hell of a drug.
Right.
And I'm like, this stuff only happens when this behavior is encouraged. Like, I just don't like it. And no, I will never understand it.
Me either. I don't. Football would be a little bit different story, but I can't be at a concert with you and or anyone, especially a person that I don't know, and be beating the hell out of each other and that not become real. Like, I don't have the temperament for that. Like, you crash into me, I'm probably going to elbow you until you quit twitching. It's just, I don't have the temperament to stand down there and have people hitting me and crashing in. I just can't do it.
No, I agree. It's terrible.
All right, moving on. Pitchy vocals or out-of-tune guitar?
Oh, this is rough for me. This one's rough. Because they both stand out to me because I'm like, ooh. But I'm going to have to go with pitchy vocals. And I think that that's maybe just because of the wider availability of them. And because, you know, you got all kinds of people thinking they can sing. And you got all kinds of people thinking they can play guitar, too. But at least they make a thing called a tuner. They don't make a tuner for your vocals. Like, you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. Like, you can't tune someone's vocals.
Right, and that's what leads me to pick pitchy vocals as well. Listen, you're calling yourself a musician. You have the ability to tune your guitar, and for that show, that guitar is going to stay tuned. Okay? Your vocals, that's a set of muscles and vibrations that I don't care how good you are, no one has 100% control of that.
Right.
The guitar, that is a mechanical item that you can control. Control it.
Right. And if you can't play without knocking it out of tune, get another guitar and then switch between them and have someone tune them up while you're playing. So...
Right. However control it looks like, control it. It's a mechanical item. You're a professional. Control that.
Right.
All right. Now, the next one up, karaoke or guitar guy at a party?
This one's easy for me. The lesser of two evils here is karaoke. Because karaoke, it's intended that you're like, you know, you're singing there and you go there to sing. So, like, if I don't want to hear karaoke, I'm not going to a karaoke bar. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what I'm going to do. But I also, you know, for on the converse side of this, I hate when I go to a party or a get-together and then, you know, someone has too much to drink and they get out the guitar and they're like, who wants to hear some Wonderwall? You know, next thing you know, we get, you know, a badly attuned guitar with some person, usually a dude, trying to play guitar to attract the opposite sex, and it's usually pretty terrible. So Guitar Guy gets on my nerves. I'm not a big fan of Guitar Guy.
I took this question to mean either item at a party. So, you know, we have a New Year's Day or a New Year's Eve get together just about every year. And we have karaoke at that. Like, it's intended. Like, everyone knows that that's what we're going to do. And people come for that. Like, that's involving everybody at the party. Guitar Guy, you're just hijacking everybody's conversations and time. You're like, that's only you. You're only entertaining you. Despite what you may think, you're only entertaining you. The karaoke right. involves everybody that's there.
Right, because people are taking turns, whereas Guitar Guy is like, what Dashboard confessional song do you want to hear next? Is he, as you said, hijacks the conversation. People can't talk. They feel like they're forced to look and watch him badly play.
Fair. All right, last one. Stage Stormer or Gate Jumper?
I'm going to say, oh, this is tough. I'll just say this. I don't feel like you should ever be on the stage. I just don't believe in that. Unless you're performing in some way, you shouldn't be on the stage. Sorry about it. So I'm not a fan of that. So I guess I'll say Gate Jumper and cover avoiding and that kind of sort of thing, even though I think that's terrible. But there's just way too many dangers that happen with people getting on the stage. Security, like, taking them out pretty heavily. Or, you know, you look at things that will happen with situation with Dimebag Darrell in Columbus, with, you know, him getting shot by some crazy dude. You know, I just don't think that fans should be on the stage. And if you're going to a concert, you should be going there to watch people you know, play, and you don't need to be a part of that. And trust me, the musicians, as a former musician who would play and has had someone jump on the stage, it's not fun for us. We don't want you up there either.
Yeah, no, there's, listen, if you are just gate jumping, you're avoiding the cover, whatever, you're not hurting me. I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, it's bullshit. If you don't got the money to go out, don't go out. Stay at the house.
True.
You know, but you're not hurting me, really. If I paid my money, though, to get in this show, I don't want you on stage interrupting the show that I paid to see. Get your ass down, or I hope security slaps a lump on your head. It's that simple.
Right. Truth.
All right, that is it. Lesser of two evils. I think we were in agreement on just about everything there.
Yeah.
I just, dude, mosh pits kill me. Like, I, at Rock on the Range last year, I sat way up there in the top of the stadium, all the way in the top. Like, nothing, there was just a fence behind me. And other than that, it was dropped to the ground. There was no one else behind me. And I'm watching all these people in these mosh pits, and I'm just like, God, you're going to hate yourself in the morning.
I can't. I don't get it. I never will.
Me either. All right, we got to move on to highlight the site. I will go first. And this is, I believe this was alluded to a little bit when we had Hello June on for their interview. Is that correct?
But we not done yet. But this is one of the things.
Listen, I didn't say we were done. I just said this was alluded to a little bit in that conversation. The Alt Review Women of Alt playlist that was put together and curated by Sarah Rudy of Hello June. Go check that out. It's on Alt Reviews on Spotify, right?
Yeah, on our Spotify, but we've shared it to all social media. It's permanently up there on our Instagram profile, so you can always go up there and click the link, and it'll take you right to it. or just go to our Spotify profile. It's featured there. But I know a lot of times people are like, I don't want to dig in Spotify. So just click on our Instagram profile. It's right there.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that's where it was because I knew it wasn't just only on the website.
Yeah. And then I want to talk real quickly about our Sunday Funday set list. And I wanted to include this one specifically because Nick wrote about overplayed graduation songs because a lot of people graduated last weekend. A lot of people are going to be graduating this weekend. And so, of course, you know, he used the hashtag, you know, Green Day is on it. So I'm not going to tell you who else is on it, but Yeah.
I know them all. I mean,
yeah. So go check that out.
All right. That is all the time we have for the evening. Big thank you to Laura Paragano for joining us tonight. Do not forget www.lauraparagano.com. That is Paragano. Go and pre-save this new single. It is called Stained Glass Eyes. After you listen to it here, go there, pre-save it. Don't forget. Don't do anything else. Go pre-save it. I am GP. That is Mike LaTorre. We are Alt Review. Be good or be good at it. We are out.
All things out. Always.
Keep too abstract to wait.